The games are noisy. They should be. As Alexis Madrigal wrote recently for The Atlantic, what you see depends in part on what you hear. To be immersed in a performance on the uneven bars, we need to hear the slap of hands on wood and the bars flexing as the athlete twirls. Peregrine Andrews produced an audio documentary called The Sound of Sport that explains that some of what you'll be hearing is not exactly what you'll be seeing. Welcome, Peregrine.
Thank you.
Let's start with an example of the sound during the last London Olympics in 1948.
300 yards to go. Eriksson of Sweden leading and Strand right up at its shoulder. Three Swedes in front now. Slykhus fourth is catching the
I'm last. Finding it interesting about all the Swedes, but I'm not hearing much in the way of sporting.
No. I'm not sure how many microphones they had access to. Probably very few, and it may have literally been one microphone on the announcer, and any sound that happened to accidentally get picked up, you know, was a bonus.
But now every detail of an event is recorded, even the flight of an arrow.
You can, if you listen carefully, clearly hear that three stages of the flight, the twang of the bow, and then the swish through the air, and then the thud of the arrow hitting the target. Most people probably haven't seen real arrows very often, but they have watched films, they have watched Robin Hood.
Look out!
And that kind of twang, swish, thud is quite possibly a movie-driven idea. But Dennis Baxter, who's the sort of lead sound designer on the Olympics, he felt that he needed to meet that. And so he did by just using a clever combination of microphones and very carefully putting a microphone underneath the flight path of the arrow.
Now let's listen to the sound of a gymnast.
What we're hearing there is the use of a thing called a contact microphone. So if you put one on a balance beam, a gymnast is walking along, you'll actually hear something that you would never hear naturally if you stood beside the beam. What you're actually picking up is the vibrations inside the beam. It's a kind of hidden world. And it was just an idea that Dennis had. By bringing out the flexing of the bar as the nervous feet make their way along it, it makes for something really intense.
But there are other examples where pre-recorded sounds are mixed into the sound of the event. This is a loop of horse racing that was used during live races.
There's practical reasons why they do this. Your camera lenses can pull in shots from, you know, a mile away with their zooms. You have no microphone that can do that. So the only way you could cover a huge range like that would be to use hundreds of microphones, which is impractical, or you fake it.
Right.
And with horse racing, rather than put a load of microphones out across the track, they figured that they could use this kind of galloping horse's rumble. It would fill in what you expect.
Some of those horses used in that loop might be dead.
Well, in fact, I was told when I sourced the recording that they may not even have been horses. They may have been buffalo.
But at least that's not during the Olympics. During the Olympics, we have the example, however, of rowing in the 1996 Games in Atlanta. In that case, pre-recorded sound was used to create a more, quote, natural experience.
It's a case of meeting expectations. And if you're watching rowing on television, they're not showing you the helicopters, they're not showing you the chase boats. But all you can hear, if you have microphones placed along the course, is helicopters and chase boats, because they make an awful lot more noise than the rowing. Dennis and his team said, well, what should we give people? And I should make it clear that the use of these things is quite subtle and is generally mixed in with the natural sound.
Natural, though, isn't necessarily the same as authentic.
No, but I mean, what's authentic? Television isn't authentic. You know, pointing lenses and microphones at things doesn't capture reality. It captures a little sliver of reality.
I have to be careful here. We'll be cutting out your ums and my ahs, and even on our show, I will record ambience and sound and then read my text over it. But we wouldn't insert ambient sound that was recorded in another time and place. Like, we wouldn't put a marching band under you now, or maybe we would.
I'll tell you something interesting is I've worked in radio a lot. I then sort of halfway through my career started doing sound for TV. And the one thing I noticed was that you actually need a lot more sound. If you see someone slam a car door, if you don't hear a car door slam, it really disturbs you. Your brain will just go, there's something wrong. So you find when you're doing television post-production sound, a lot of those little, what you might call cheats go in, but that's not even to make it big and Hollywood and hyper-real. That's just to make it seem normal and right.
Peregrine, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Audio engineer and producer Peregrine Andrews is the producer of the audio documentary The Sound of Sport.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.